get this, broke the sound barrier during free fall. Unassisted. I watched it today and it just, I mean, literally brought tears to my eyes.
Oh, yeah. You know, I'd cry too if I was falling to earth.
This is the RX Power Hour. Powerlifting, strongman, and superstar athletes. Welcome to the RX Power Hour. Here's Mike Johnston and Brian Hildebrand.
Yep, it's the same name, new voices, and a new purpose. Welcome to RX Power Strength Radio, the definitive name in strength training, nutrition, and promotions in the strength sports industry with me, Brian Hildebrand, and my midget bearded cohort in Columbus, Ohio, American Strongman. Strongman Corporation Vice President, Mike Johnston. Mike, what do you say?
You know, midget? I got a funny midget story, actually.
Go ahead.
I was at a bar one time. Can you imagine me at a bar just one time?
Really?
And there I was.
Drank.
I know. And I was in a crowd of people. You know how you're just sort of walking along and, you know, somebody will grab your ass?
Yeah.
You know, that's pretty cool in a bar. I mean, unless it's like a hairy bear bar or something, you know. But anyway, so I'm walking along, and, like, there's somebody grabs, like, I mean, not just, like, a little pinch or a little swat on the butt, but, like, a whole handful of cheek. I mean, like, dug in deep, you know what I mean? And I look over my left shoulder, and there's nobody there. And I look over my right shoulder, and there's literally nobody there. And I'm like, what the fuck is going on? Did I just get grabbed by a ghost? Well, then I look out in front of me, and there's this little person walking. And there was this little lady, and she looks back over, you know, looks back over her shoulder and gives me a wave and a nod. And I was like, hi.
Your story's so better than mine. Go ahead.
I was kind of like, I was violated by a midget.
You were.
I'm not complaining. I'm just saying.
Somebody kept finally paying attention to you. Is that what you're saying? I was with a group of friends in Seattle, and some of them are straight, some of them are gay, and they got tired of going all of the straight places, so we went to a couple of gay clubs, and the last place we went was a place called, oh Christ, I think it's right on Pine, right off Broadway in Capitol Hill. I'm drawing a total blank to the name of it. Anyway, we walk in as a group, and the last two of us, the guy who was with me, he and I were straight, and the guy taking the cover took a phone call. So our group went in ahead of us. It was us two straight guys walking in behind everybody while they're gone, disappeared into the crowd. It's a Friday night, hoocha hoocha kind of thing going on. And we walk into the bar. We can't find them, so we walk up to the bar to order a drink, and I feel this tap on the back of my shoulder. And I turn over and look over both shoulders. There's nothing there. I imagine something. And then again, I get this tapping. I'm like, what is it? I actually happen to look down. And it was a little person, about 4 foot nothing, and he's wearing, I couldn't make this up if I tried, he was wearing a leather vest, he had a big hairy chest, leather chaps, assless, and he looks up at me and says, do you want to dance? In his best drunken voice. I've never been asked to dance by a guy. What kind of comeback can I come up with? And I said, not now, maybe later. That was the best I could come up with. So that's my midget story.
You may have been the nicest guy.
Yeah, you may have been the nicest guy. I just don't know.
Yours is a little bit more disturbing, I think.
Maybe a little bit, but, you know, it is what it is. Yeah, I've never been felt up by a midget girl, so. Or a short person, female. I should probably be more politically correct.
I think it's little people.
Little people? Is that what they go? Is that what the community of people know right now?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure. I'm pretty sure.
Okay.
Little people.
I'm out of that loop. Sorry. Hey, Mike, I wanted to primarily, first of all, before we do anything else, I want to thank our listeners. You know, we've not been doing this too long, and, you know, social media plays such a big impact, has such a big impact on so many things that we do. I want to thank our listeners who made the show a top 20 show in all of the shows in RX, on RX Muscle. We were a top 20 show, ranked, what was it, number 12? 14? Of course, she's gone while I'm asking her. We ranked number 12 or 14 out of all the shows that aired in the month of September when we had Big Mike Jenkins on. And I think that has, it's twofold. One, it is shows the impact of what Twitter and Facebook in spreading any kind of message or any kind of word. And two, people really do find my voice soothing and sexy, I think. Don't you
is that what you think it is? It very well could be. I mean, I know that's why I listen. In fact, when I'm listening, sometimes I fast forward through my own voice just so I can hear yours.
You know, that's good.
Are you maybe fucking kidding me? Do you know why they listen? They listen because we're fucking funny.
Oh, yeah, well, that too, I guess. We had a pretty good conversation before we got on the air, and it got a little out of hand. So hopefully Jeff edits some of that funny stuff, inappropriate stuff out of our conversation. I'm telling you, Mike, I'm just ecstatic that we've created this much traction in such a short period of time. And the list of guests that we've talked about, people that in the industry, and people especially out of our specific industry that have an interest in coming on, and being able to spread their word, because there's, like we talked about last week, there's so many similarities with strongman and other sports in the training aspect, especially the nutrition aspect. I know that we've got we talked about bringing some nutritionists on, and I've got a game plan to work on making that a regular segment. And then, you know, some of the athletes we've talked about that have that similarity, and we've got some CrossFit people, world champion people from the CrossFit community, and some other people, MMA, boxing, that all share some training similarities with what you and I do on a regular basis.
Well, you know, anybody that's going to compete at a high level, you know, and take any of the people that we've talked about, whether you're going to compete at a high level or you're going to produce an event at a high level, obviously Dion and Sean Caddoli last weekend, and then certainly if you're going to compete at a high level, and you take Jenkins and you take Burke and obviously Holly Mangold and you take Derek Farnsworth, anybody that's going to compete and put themselves out there on that highest level, I mean, you've got to be able to go to the gym, you've got to be able to, you know, it's a little bit selfish, probably time away from your family, time away from your loved ones, but you're putting that time and that effort in. There's going to be injuries. There's going to be sacrifice. Obviously, nutrition is a big part of it. And so there's so many more similarities than there are differences. You know, I'd never really met Sean Caddoli, and obviously he does the raw stuff, and my powerlifting background is more of an equipped background. But some of the ideas that he has about making it legitimate and really going to depth and you know, some of the soft handouts and that kind of a thing, you know, I absolutely agree with. You know, I may do geared stuff, he may do raw, but some of those ideas are very similar. You know, with Derek, we didn't get much of a chance to talk about his background in art, you know, but myself, I'm an artist. I do some watercolors and some things, so I'm actually excited to talk to him tonight about art, you know, maybe some pencil drawings. I mean, I don't know what his medium is. Maybe he's a charcoal guy. I'm not sure, but I think that's going to be a lot of fun to talk to him about that and, you know, finding the similarities and not the differences.
Mike, he's an active range of therapy therapist, or active range of motion therapist. That's not the kind of watercolor. He manipulates people's muscles into rehabilitation.
Oh.
Do you understand the difference?
Oh, sure, yeah. Oh, I thought it was like pencils. Well, you know.
No pencils or clay. None of this, what's that movie, Ghost? We know hands over the top of the other hands molding clay. Nothing like that. Oh, Derek may do that. I don't know. We'll have to ask him.
Pulling clay? Is that what you're calling it now, Brian?
Calling it what?
You know, that's what all the Harry Bear guys are doing. They're listening to the
molding
show.
Clay.
They're listening to your soothing voice, and they're pulling clay.
Molding clay. You're a funny guy. Jesus criminy. Hey, Mike, I have a question for you. How much money would it take for you, if I were to approach you with this idea, how much money would you ask for? Did you watch the news at all this weekend?
Yeah.
Okay. Did you see what Felix Baumgartner and Red Bull did this weekend?
Yes, as a matter of fact.
How much money would it take to put you in a balloon, take you several hours to get up to 100,000 feet, and for you to bail out of the holy thing?
24 miles.
To Earth? Yeah.
24 miles. I'll tell you what, you got a better chance, and I don't know, I'm going to show my age here, but in 1976, there was a movie called The Man Who Felt the Earth, starring David Bowie. I don't know if anybody remembers some of the costumes that David Bowie wore in the 70s. You got a better chance of dressing me up like that and parading me through San Francisco than having me jump from space 24 miles above the Earth.
So I could.
That was insane.
We have a better chance of calling you Ziggy Stardust than we have of seeing you bail out 128,000 feet.
Hell yeah, man. Ziggy Stardust and spiders from Mars all day long. I'm not fucking jumping. You know, the one thing I didn't get to do when I was in the Marine Corps, I did not jump out of a plane. I did some fast roping and did some short hops out of a helicopter into the ocean in a boat, but I never did skydive. It's something that I would like to do, but that's just a little too extreme. But I hear the guy's retiring.
Oh, well, I would imagine. He's done something nobody else in their right mind has ever done before. There was a guy in the 50s that did it, obviously under much more primitive circumstances and not nearly as high. When Felix Baumgartner is his name, and the project is called Red Bull Stratos, and if you haven't seen the video, go to redbullstratos.com. It's STRATOS, redbullstratos.com. He climbed to more than 128,000 feet, and based on data collected from a suit, he broke the sound barrier. Get this, broke the sound barrier during free fall, unassisted. His body hurling through space breaks the sound barrier and three other world records in the process, one of being the height. And the best part of it was watching him. As he's coming down, he's maybe 10 feet off the ground, he pulls the cords to billow out and softly touches down, walks across, falls to his knees, and just pumps his fist in the air because he's accomplished. It took him a week to accomplish it because they set off, this was actually supposed to happen last weekend, and every day between last weekend and this, they had weather problems and they had some equipment issues. I put it off, and then everything finally came together for him. And I watched it today. I didn't get a chance to see it over the weekend. I watched it today, and it literally brought tears to my eyes because it was just one of the coolest freaking things I've ever seen in my life, to be able to fall. Because you see the camera above him as he's standing on the edge saying, okay, boys, this is it. Here I go. And he just jumps, and the earth is underneath him. And it's an incredible video. You really, really, really got to see it. Have you seen the video, Mike? Did you see it?
Oh, yeah, it was all over television today. I mean, you know, I'd cry, too, if I was falling to Earth.
It was an amazing, amazing, amazing piece of video to watch. And if you go to their website, they've got like a four and a half minute video montage of kind of what the group of people on the ground and, you know, the command center and everything that they had to go through, and then what the ground crew had to go through, and then, you know, just that final liftoff and everything that took to make that happen is a pretty cool deal, pretty fun to watch. I've been following that for about the past year as they've been talking about putting this together, and they made it happen, so I'm excited.
Let me ask you this. Did they have, like, a mile square foot sheet of plastic?
No, why?
Well, I'm just wondering, because if that parachute had failed, that's how much ground he would have covered when he splattered all over the earth.
I think he would have probably just impaled himself into the earth. I don't think he would have even bounced. He probably would have just made terminal impact. And they would have had to excavate all the dirt out to take his remains out of there at that point. That's the only way you would have gotten him out of there, through maybe some
Ziggy
evidence or something.
Ziggy Stardust, baby.
Mike and Ziggy Stardust. Greater chance of seeing Mike and Ziggy Stardust gold and purple lame than jumping out of a hot air balloon 128,000 feet. That's incredible.
Hey, you know, that's my goal for 2013.
Gold and
to have
gold,
like some
lame.
Special, yeah, some special gold and purple lame suits made up when I announce. Yeah, Sean Catterly and your mustache wax. You're gonna have nothing on this kid.
I'm going to take you up on that. I'm going to have to get to work. I'm going to have to go to Vegas and buy some gold lame. And I'm going to have something made just for you for the Arnold. We'll have it made for the Arnold.
I want to dress like CeeLo Green, but I don't want to have them funny little Burger King hands.
Burger King hands.
Hey, Brian, will you hold my Whopper?
Yeah, no, that's what the Harry Bear thing. That's that. That's that thing. That HarryBear.com. Hey, and somehow HarryBear.com. And somehow what?
And somehow it comes back around to pulling clay.
You know, you're obviously familiar with HarryBear.com. I won't ask why. Our good friend Brad Dunn. You know, he has somebody's dedicated a page to him on HarryBear.com.
Yeah, shirtless Saturday nights. Brad Dunn, I've seen that.
I was writing an article for, and trying to get some information about Brad before I'd met him, and that was one of the first photos that actually came up with his swimming pool picture on HarryBear.com. It was done without his knowledge. I talked to him about it afterwards, obviously, and he's just got some great admirers in the Harry Bear community.
Yeah, there was a, on our Flickr page on ASC, and I encourage people to go to it because we do have thousands and thousands of pictures, and I have actually posted some archive pictures, some stuff that I have from back in early 2006 and 7 of some of the guys. I mean, you know, some pictures of some strong men that have, you know, left us, you know, left this earth, and you know, guys that have competed throughout the years, competed with ASC, so we have some archive stuff. But we'll have all of the pictures from the amateur national championship, and we'll have tons and tons of pictures from, you know, this past weekend or a couple weekends ago at the Olympia. But for a while, we were getting all this influx of traffic of all these people hitting the site, the Flickr site in particular, and. I kind of have a Google thing set up where if somebody goes on the website or there's some information or somebody posts something about American Strongman, it'll kind of show up and we can sort of go to it and see what it is. And there was an influx of traffic where people were taking the pictures of the athletes and actually posting them on different alternative lifestyle websites. So it was pretty funny. So for a minute we thought, well, you know, maybe we should block the poster, you know, the guy that was doing it. But then we thought, hey, you know, it's out there, you know, people come to watch, these people are fans, you know, whatever, you know, it is what it is, so any publicity is good publicity, I guess.
Yeah, well, an alternative lifestyle is not necessarily a bad fan base, especially when you're 6'8", 400 pounds, I mean, you're always looking for a fan base, right?
Not at all. You know, hey, people pay to come see the shows. People like to watch. I mean, it's incredible feats of strength. It is what it is, you know?
Yep, exactly. Robert Oberst was on Facebook today and actually taking one of your pictures that somebody posted of him coming out of from where the athletes were standing behind where they were coming out onto you know what I'm talking about, where the athletes at America Strongest...
Yeah, they're coming out from behind the curtain.
Thank you. I couldn't even think of the freaking word curtain. They were coming out behind the word from the curtain, and there's a picture of Robert just standing there. He's like this Greek statue just standing there, you know, if you can imagine 400-pound bearded Greek statue just standing there with this look on his face like, I am an Adonis. I am the man, as he's being introduced by you walking out. It's a really funny picture. And, We had our Jeff Steigo, who's one of our staff photographers at rxmuscle.com, was out there as well. And if you guys head to rxmuscle.com, go to contests and you click on pictures, where we have the largest bodybuilding photo database anywhere on the internet from shows all around this country. And now we're doing a lot of international coverage as well, not just professional, but amateur stuff as well. And I've got a couple of strongman shows, the big shows. We're starting to bring photographers out, and we put. We got all the American Strongman stuff out there, and it's broken down by athlete, so you'll be able to find your favorite athlete's photos. Lots of really great pictures. No midgets pinching your butt, however. I didn't find any of those this time, Mike. I'm sorry. I'll try to make sure we get that pointed out next time.
You got to aim lower. Remember, I'm short anyway, so if a midget is grabbing my ass, it's really at the bottom of the basement.
He's going to get down and lay down on his belly to be able to take that picture, right? Hey, Mike, go ahead, I'll let you
go. Speaking of international contests, and damn it, I was looking for the score sheet. Dion sent me the score sheet from Arnold, Spain. Zitrunas, yeah. Just like dominated. Yeah. And actually, our good friend Michael Burke was the highest placing American.
He was.
I think he finished fourth, and obviously Jenkins was sixth, I believe.
Actually, Jenkins was seven. Big Z
was
wins,
he seven?
Followed by the big Paul, the big. when Z finally retires, and the rumor that I heard is that Z, this is Z's final, his last hurrah this year. This Radzikowski from Poland, he came in at second and pushed Z all the way to the end. They were 1-2 at a lot of events, although Mike Burke actually won an event, the front hole. I didn't see pictures of it as to see what the apparatus was, but Mike Burke won that, and Jenkins took second in that event. But third was Lalas overall. Burke was fourth with 37.5 points, followed by Misha, Big Thor, and then Mike Jenkins was seventh.
Wow, awesome.
Followed by Cantona, Constantine, and then Nomi Evie was in last at four with 14 points. So I haven't talked to Mike yet since he's been back. I was going to give him a little time to get back and get his head back about him, give him a call, and just kind of get his feelings about how things have gone over the past few weeks. I know he's probably had some great disappointment. I can only assume that maybe he's working around an issue just based on the performances. Some areas where he normally excels, I think he wound up fifth in the log press. Misha even beat him in the log press, and he dominated that this year at the Arnold, beating Z and everybody. So I can only assume maybe he's got an issue he's dealing with.
Well, you know, I didn't get a chance to talk to Dion, but we texted back and forth, and she just said that Zydrunas was extremely comfortable, very methodical, very calm, and just very, like, relaxed. You know, he gets excited, obviously, after he performs, but if you've ever talked to him or get a chance to talk to him, he doesn't have a lot to say. He's not the most gregarious guy. He does get a little bit hyped up, but she says that he just has a different demeanor, maybe that she hasn't seen in a while, where he's just so focused in that it's almost like a scary quiet, you know?
Kind of that mass murderer quiet, the sociopath quiet?
Yeah, like, you know, I'm about to just kick everybody's ass, so whatever.
Yeah, I'd take that at face value. I'd have no issue with that. None whatsoever. Well, good. Hey, Mike, we're going to take a commercial break. Our next guest, we had him on for a few minutes last week just to kind of touch about bros versus pros, and we'll talk about that again tonight. But Derek Farnsworth is going to be back on with us tonight, and I want to get to know Derek a little bit better, let you guys get to know about him. I mean, this guy at 5'1", and he competes in the high 160s, 170-pound range, is an incredible athlete, great trainer, and one of these guys with just an incredible positive attitude towards everything he does. Is a super guy to hang around with, and looking forward to seeing him this weekend at Bros vs. Pros 12 in Phoenix at the Phoenix Europa, where you're going to be this weekend as well. So we'll see each other this weekend.
Oh, yeah.
You'll be there with the 105 championships this weekend. And we're going to talk about art therapy, from what I understand. Not the charcoal and pencil stuff, Mike, sorry. But I think you guys have a few things to talk about in the therapy department. But our guest coming up will be Derek Farnsworth. And the IFBB Pro just made his Olympia debut a couple weeks ago in the 212-pound class. And again, he'll be our pro for the Bros versus Pros 12 in Phoenix. And we'll be right back with him shortly. Hang on.
Custom Stacks Nutrition and its team of dedicated fitness professionals are here to help you achieve your fitness, sports, and body transformation goals. Custom Stacks Nutrition offers discount sports supplements, vitamins, and nutritional products to meet the needs of all types of fitness enthusiasts, from weekend warriors to competitive athletes and bodybuilders, and everyone interested in better health. We offer rock-bottom wholesale prices with easy ordering, top-rated service, and super fast shipping. All RX Power Hour listeners get 5% off all orders of $100 or more. Just visit CustomStacksNutrition.com and enter the code POWERHOUR when ordering. Custom Stacks Nutrition, your number one internet discount supplement retailer.
Tad the Diet Coach, contest prep guru for bodybuilding, bikini, physique, and figure. Go to TadTheDietCoach.com, an expert on nutrition and exercise science with over 20 years experience in fitness and bodybuilding. Tad the Diet Coach offers a complete scientific and individually focused contest prep or a full off-season plan that is custom tailored for your own unique needs. This kind of diet coaching is a premium coaching service that includes weekly conference calls, individually based diet and supplement plans, specific cardio and workout schedules, and constant contact during the contest prep or off-season process. Tad the Diet Coach, author of the Diet Recipe Cookbook, and also the creator of the Coach's Choice Whey Protein Isolate, which is the absolute best-tasting premier isolate on the market. Tad the Diet Coach will get you to the next level. Go now to TadTheDietCoach.com or send an email to info@TadTheDietCoach.com. P28 High Protein Bread is the official bread of RX Muscle. Are you looking to incorporate more protein into your meals or just want to enjoy bread again? Then look no further. Try the 100% natural P28 High Protein Bread. P28 High Protein Bread is a formulated revolutionary breakthrough product. Packed with whey protein isolate, 14 grams of protein per slice, 12 grams of carbs, 8 essential amino acids, and made with 100% whole wheat. Fear bread no more. Build a better body with P28. Order today at highproteinbread.com. P28 is also now available at bodybuilding.com and many other retailers. Order now, highproteinbread.com. P28 Bread, RX Muscle approved. Fusion Bodybuilding makes bodybuilding's strongest supplements, and they're committed to giving back to you. Fusion Bodybuilding not only want to promote the bodybuilding lifestyle, but they also want to help build the sport. Bodybuilding is all they do. It's their obsession. You know the feeling. That's why you're here. Visit Fusion Bodybuilding at FusionBodybuilding.com or join in on the conversation on the Fusion Bodybuilding fan page on Facebook, where you'll find IFBB Pro Q&As, contest giveaways, and nothing but in-depth bodybuilding talk. Fusion Bodybuilding, bodybuilding's strongest supplements. Head over to FusionBodybuilding.com today.
So are you from Australia, paying far too much for supplements with the inflating whey and amino prices? Why not check out the all-new RX Muscle Australia for the latest Australian and worldwide content and coverage. While you're there, check out Bulk Nutrient Supplement Store, the official supplement store for RX Muscle Australia. You can visit Bulk Nutrients at bulknutrients.com.au, your one-stop shop, and also check out the all-new rxmuscle.com.au. RX Muscle Australia, the truth in Australian bodybuilding.
rxmuscle.com. Now you have a place to turn when you want the truth on bodybuilding, diet, and exercise. Up-to-the-minute news and more. Visit the rxmuscle.com forums featuring celebrity Q&As with IFBB professional athletes, top amateurs, and the brightest minds in the industry. Listen to our weekly radio shows, including Heavy Muscle Radio, Muscle Girls Inc., After Hours, and more. Contest coverage, videos, even our own social networking site, RX Muscle Place. Visit rxmuscle.com.
Hey, this is Mike Johnson, the House of Pain contest calendar for weekend of October 19th, 2012. On the strongman side, on 10-20 in Waco, Texas, the Central Texas Strength Showdown Strongman Contest. And, of course, in Phoenix, Arizona, the Aeropa Get Fit 105-kilogram America's Strongest Man. On the powerlifting side, 10-19 through the 21st in Las Vegas, Nevada, the Raw 2012 World Championships. On October 20th in Fulton, Mississippi, the 2012 APA Fall Big Iron Classic. In Russellville, Arkansas, the Arkansas State Powerlifting and Bench Press Championship. In Rawell, Texas, the APF 2012 House of Pain Texas Cup. And in Clinton, Indiana, the NGLF 7th Street Gym Bench Press and Deadlift Meet. In St. Louis Obispo, California, the USPA Central California Open. And in Houston, Texas, the MSA PSN Deadlift Challenge. In Phoenix, Arizona, a non-sanctioned meet at the Aeropa Get Fit and Sports Expo Squat, Bench, and Deadlift. And also on October 20th in Shoreview, Minnesota, the USPA Halloween Havoc Push-Pull. In East Peoria, Illinois, the WUAP America's Cup. And in Attleboro, Massachusetts, the RPS Power Challenge. In Portland, Oregon, the APF and AAPF EPC Fall Meet Powerlifting Bench Press Raw and Equipped. And in Corpus Christi, Texas, the SPF Bar Benders on the Bay. In Northbrook, Illinois, 2012 APF AAPF Rise of the Deadlift Beast of the Bench. And in Las Vegas, Nevada, Hardcore Powerlifting Kings of the Bench 8. And October 20th and 21st in Orlando, Florida, the 9th Annual USAPL Florida Collegiate Open Powerlifting Championships and the 9th Annual USAPL Southeastern Regional Powerlifting Championships. And if you're done powerlifting and you just want to get fat and eat some food, on October 20th in Bridgeton, New Jersey, at the Greater Bridgeton Amish Market, the first annual Whoopie Pie Eating Contest. That is your House of Pain contest calendar for October 19th. House of Pain, only the strong survive.
This is the RX Power Hour.
Welcome back to the RX Power Hour, Strength Radio, the definitive name in strength training, nutrition, and promotions in the sports strength industry. Well, let me try that again. How about strength sports industry? You know, sometimes I just get my S's all tangled up. Hey, Mike, you know what I forgot to do in the first segment was this week in sports, we got talking about HarryBear.com molding clay and midgets. So we kind of got thrown off track in the first 20 minutes.
My, you know, can our guest hear us? Because he's probably going to hang up after he heard that.
Yeah, I think Derek can hear us. I think he's waiting on the line. So, my question for you, are you ready? This week,
yeah.
In 1977, the New York Yankees won their 21st World Series. Their 21st World Series. They actually did it in four straight games. Reggie Jackson did something that only one other person in Major League history has ever done, and that person was Babe Ruth. He tied a record that Babe Ruth set during the World Series in 1977. What was it?
I know, Mr. October, Reggie Jackson. He either hit three home runs in one game, or he hit like a home run in every single game, but it had something to do with home runs.
That's right. He had three consecutive homers, tying Ruth's series record of three in a single game. And he actually did a consecutive three in a row versus three in a single game, which was...
Yeah, three at-bats and then three home runs he got.
That's right. And Sports Illustrated came out with the Mr. October with the big wide open swing that he had. And I just saw a picture of him. He's bald as a kid. He looks like me. He's shaved his head. He used to have a big bushy head of hair. Now it's all shaved off.
Well, you know, that happens when you get to an advanced age like you and Reggie Jackson.
Thanks, buddy. Hey, we were talking about our guest. You know, last week we had him on for a few minutes, and I want to learn more about Derek, and our fans. I certainly want to know more about him because he's a pretty intriguing guy, and I've had an opportunity to get to know Derek Farnsworth, you know, on a little more personal level. We see each other at shows and email and text and stuff. And what I can say about Derek Farnsworth is that he is truly one of the nicest guys in the industry. He's polite. He's highly motivated and just a pleasure to work with. And he's going to be our pro this weekend at Bros versus Pros 12, Double Trouble at the Phoenix Europa on October 20th, again, Saturday. Doors open at 9. We will probably be going on stage around 1 with the first lifter, and then we'll carry on throughout the day until probably 5 or 6 in the evening. I want to welcome our guest back again 2 weeks in a row, Derek Farnsworth. How are you tonight, buddy? How's San Diego?
That's warm as usual.
Nice. Yeah, hey, Mike, what's it like in Columbus right now? I think I'm jealous of you.
It's cold. Well, it's not really cold. Right. It's just, it's very autumn weather. It's nice. Nice for snuggling.
I won't make any comments, midgets and HarryBear.com. No, it was 82 here today. It's about, was it that warm there, Derek, or was it cooler? It was 82 here.
How about 75, 70?
Yeah.
We had a heat wave going, but it's come down a little bit, so it's a little more comfortable.
Good. No, it's. I'm hoping it's going to be nice in Phoenix this weekend. Not too bad. I know it can still be in the hundreds in October in Phoenix. So I'm hoping it's not going to be.
Well, I remember that yet. Phoenix one. I was like, glad I wasn't in that Phoenix squat one. I would tell myself, I'm glad I'm not doing that one because I think I did legs that morning with Dusty, and I was like, hell no, am I going to squat in this thing? It was brutal that day. I didn't have no air conditioning or something like that. I remember how brutal it was.
Yeah, Josh had just opened the Metroflex in Phoenix, and they just opened like 2 days before. And the room that we were in, where the squat racks were for Bros versus Pros, was a squat. It was a squat event, and it was the only room without air conditioning. And
we
had, 150 people crammed into that room. We had people like George Farah and Dennis James and yourself and Troy Alves and a lot of big name people in there to come in and, you know, see this event. They're curious as to what it's all about. And when it got hot as hell in there. It was warm. And I don't know how the athletes did it, sucking wind, squatting 405.
Those girls are doing like 70 reps. Remember like that, what's the name?
Frank
did 31, but that female did like 70 reps or something. I was thinking, yeah, right.
Oh,
you know what
yeah,
I mean?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's
that was insane.
That was, who was our winner in Phoenix? McKenna
Soto,
IFBB Fitness.
Yeah, yeah, that's it. Yeah, that's it. Yep.
Yeah, McKenna
Soto. I was just thinking myself,
she's
no way.
Yeah, she's,
she was still excited. She was like freaking screaming, and like at like 50, she was still screaming. I was like, girl, save your energy, you know? I was like, oh my God.
Yeah, I think that's what she used to move her energy up the ladder.
Oh, yeah, definitely. You could tell. She fed off the audience, totally.
Yeah, yeah, people loved her, that's for sure. So, Derek, I want to talk about a few things tonight, but the first thing I want to talk about is, I want to talk about what you do for a living. You're an art therapist, which it has nothing to do with pencils and clay and watercolors, correct?
That's right, yeah. It's short for anybody who knows it down. It's called active release technique, and the way I can tell the layman's terms to somebody is if you ever watch physical therapy, they put you through a range of motion to, you know, if you have an injury or you had surgery, they want to get your range of motion back to the, you know, what it was, or, you know, the best they can. So imagine doing massage and physical therapy at the same time. That's how I tell someone, because a lot of the moves they do is what we do, but what we do is we're massaging the muscle to get it past that point. And that's why I don't like physical therapy, because, you know, if you're massaging the muscle or you massage the muscle before you did physical therapy, you would increase their range of motion. That's why ART is about, is like getting range of motion back to that arm to the left. And like 10% of like a baseball player, that last 10% when they throw the ball can make a difference between 85 and 95 in a pitch. And, you know, when you're squatting, you're deadlifting or anything, or doing a bicep curl, the last 10% is where people are tearing their muscles from. You know, that's what ART is really big about. And the only difference between what I think my kind of therapy is and a traditional ART is they use thumbs, fingers, I use elbows. Because I went to school for deep tissue also, and I just noticed that with ART, I will not get through someone like you, Brian, how big you are. I'm not going to break through your arm in one session using my thumb. So I had to modify a lot of them. So when I go back to the classes to get recertified every year, I go through their technique. But I also, you know, I always talk to some of the teachers and say, look, I got a guy who's 3 pounds. And this is what I do, and I want to see what they say. And some of them, so I say, well, it's going to cost multiple sessions. And I'm like, look, these guys aren't loaded. You know what I mean? They think that it's a very money-making type of thing where golfers and, you know, high-profile runners and stuff. So, right. You know, I had to just take it where I can say, you know what, I can fix somebody in 2 sessions rather than do it through 10, because money-wise, I would never make it, because, you know, you can't afford 20 sessions when you only took 3, you know?
Right. And do you use implements at all to work into those deep areas and those trigger points at all? I know I had a massage therapist that my back was, I mean, I've got a big, wide, thick back, and she couldn't get her hands or her thumb would hurt too much, and so she used these implements to get into those deep areas.
All little tools and stuff like that?
Yeah.
I got one I call it the Little Red Devil. I actually bought like 4 of them. Well, it's just because like my therapist is 56 years old, the one I go to. And if you think I'm bad, go see my guy. My guy is insane. And he uses elbows and fists, and he has a little wood dowel that he calls Woody. You know, so I had to come up with a new name, and I have the Little Red Devil. And mine, it's called a massage star, and it's actually a metal with a rubber coating, and it has 3 different sides. So if someone has scar tissue on there, and I can't break through scar tissue with a hand, I'll use a little needle point, and I'll go through it. And 9 or 10 times, I can break through enough to where now I can break up the tissue. So, I mean, I'll use that on something where I'm like, I'm going to use a tool real quick, do a little cross fiber on it to break up the tissue, and then go in my elbow, do some ART, go back to the cross fiber, go back in, back and keep going back and forth. So my thing is, whatever's going to work, I'm going to use it. I'll use tools. I'll use some deep tissue. I'll change the ART, like whatever's going to do it. But if I'm noticing, like, all I'm doing is wrenching this guy's shoulder, I might have to just do some pressure point and sit there for like 2 minutes, have the person breathe. And that's the big thing with massages. If you can breathe, you know, take in a deep breath and breathe out, and I just put the pressure on it, and we sit there, that muscle will release.
Yeah.
And that's the biggest thing. It's like, you got to kind of know what to do with this guy. And a lot of guys come in, and they're so nervous I'm going to hurt them. And then they look at me and go, that wasn't so bad. I'm like, because you're right. You know, you were breathing right. And you came in and you listened to what I told you. It's kind of a lot of people say, oh, he kills me. You know what I mean? Well, if you're jacked up for 3 months, you know, or 2 years, you can't expect me to go in and, you know, pussy it. Because, I mean, that's where I don't want, you know, if someone tells me, I want to diagnose them and fix it. and then send them back to their person and say, tell them to go here, here, here. That's where I think I get the most success. It's kind of like identifying what their problem is because of what I've been in the game of bodybuilding, lifting for so many years. I'm like, yeah, when you do this, that's what you feel like. That's exactly it. Because I probably had the same aches and pains you had.
Right. You know, Mike had a girlfriend with a vibrator called the Little Red Devil, but you know, I think it was probably something.
Yeah. Yeah, and we got that at the Lions Den, but that's a completely different story.
Oh, it's not the Lions Club. Not the Lions Club, Lions Den.
No. You know, but back, you know, back to the therapy, the manual therapy, a lot of the guys that I train with now, you know, a lot of the powerlifters are, you were talking about the implements, Brian, and that's like the basis behind the Graston techniques. And, yep. You know, the whole idea is they're mobilizing adhesions, if you will, mm-hmm. connective tissue and so forth, but they're using tools to do it.
Exactly.
You know, my understanding of ART is that it's more of a mobilization of soft tissue with range of motion. Mm-hmm. A lot of physical therapists will just move a joint through space. I don't know, you don't know this, Derek, or not, but I am actually a physical therapist. So okay. What I do is a little bit different, and I work on biomechanical motion. So I look at the way something should move, and then I'll actually do joint play motions and small manipulations in the joint itself, as well as taking a range of motion, a joint segment through a range of motion. And do some soft tissue work, particularly in the shoulder, particularly in the periscapular musculature, and that kind of thing. We are going to get a lot of that. You know,
you're doing with someone doing your therapy, right?
Well, a lot of times I'll do like a trigger point release or that kind of a thing, or I'll actually get up underneath the scapula and mobilize some of that tissue. You know, if somebody does have and it is a lot of post-surgical, certainly. So somebody does have a rotator cuff repair, or they have some kind of a labral repair, and you're trying to get that range of motion. A lot of the times the range of motion isn't so much that the soft tissue is locked down or scarred down. It's that whatever caused that tear to begin with was some type of dysfunction in the joint mechanics or, you know, chronic motion, and then they've got some spurs built up in the AC joint that's wearing on the rotator cuff, and then their pattern of motion prior to having surgery was dysfunctional. So what you're really trying to do is break that poor movement pattern, those sort of neuromuscular pathways that have developed because they were moving in such a way that was, you know, it was like the water takes the easiest route, you know? So they were moving
I know exactly what you're describing perfectly.
You know what I mean? But they're moving poorly. So I've got to try to teach them, re-educate them how to move, and at the same time, try to break up old scar tissue, trigger points.
It's not one muscle, is it?
No, it's never five, six muscles,
and you're going to play. It's kind of like, you know, solving a puzzle. It's like, this one's put on here, this one's put on here, and you have to go around and keep loosening them and get them to, like you said, get them to move the right way. And then, you know, make them, when they leave you, do their own therapy and say, when you're doing this, you need to make sure that you're doing this type of movement, not this, because that's what's locking you up, is that movement or that movement. You know what I mean? That's what it sounds like. I call them the old dogs, you know, the old, like, someone like me comes in that's older and we're stubborn. And I've had the most successful people like that because you can tell they really want to get better. And I'll send them home with three stretches, and that's it. And if I tell you, if you come back in a week doing these stretches, I guarantee you'll be better. They've walked in with two inches better of mobility. And it's amazing because I'm looking at the guy and I can tell, you know, all he's doing is a stupid little stretch I showed him. He just breathed, and then, you said, he put him in the right range of motion, not the poor one. They come back and they're better, and then you work on them, and you've got two or three muscles released already because, like you said, you put them in the right range of motion and the right mobility, you know, a range of motion for that point they're doing with swimming or, you know, this guy does rowing a boat, you know, and he kept crushing his trap, you know.
And I want to welcome back our listeners to Muscle Geek Talk between an art therapist and a physical therapist. Derek, you guys need to get together over a cup of tea this weekend. Actually, Mike's going to be in Phoenix with us.
He's going to be there, great.
With the Strongman guys, so you guys have a chance to meet. But you guys have to have
a crumpet.
You guys
sure.
can talk about scapulature and whatever else your little muscle geek talk's got going on.
Hey, don't worry, Brian. I've got a little red devil for you.
Oh, buddy. I understand it's not little, but that's just the talk around town. Hey, Derek, I want to switch gears here because you just had your debut at the Olympia in the 212 class. You don't come in the 212 range. You don't even come into the 200 range. You're about like
keep going
on.
Down.
What's that?
Keep going down.
You're about 5'1". What did you weigh for the Olympia?
I think probably like Dave, the show is probably 161, 162.
Wow. My question for you now is, now that your season is over with, what does nutrition look like for you? What kind of changes in transition do you make? I know you don't make a huge transition right away because you don't want that big rebound effect and start holding 48 gallons of water. What does nutrition look like now for you?
Honestly, I don't eat. I mean, like, because you got to work Chris, I actually wasn't going to be around because it does keep me, you know, focused on what I'm doing. I used to get really big in the off season, like not huge, but you know, you get big and you know, you see big and so forth. But this year, from last year to this year, and then when Chris gets back from, he's over in Europe right now, I tell him, you know, you focus on that stuff. I'm going to relax in the body a little bit because last year when I did the shows, I didn't even cheat after the shows really. I just, I sent him a picture and I said, let's get back in the off season, let's keep going. And he just raised my calories a little bit. But it was the same meals I was eating for the show, but we switched out a couple of fish meals, put in chicken, we probably put in only about 150 carbs more, and that's it.
Right.
So, I mean, my steak meal, and number two, it's been steak for, we're going on 2 years right now. My first meal in the morning has always been one scoop of protein powder, one cup of eggs, and it's either going to be cream of rice, oats, or a bagel, you know what I mean? And it doesn't change.
Right.
Like, I do the same meals off season and contest, and all he does is monitor how I'm looking, and do I look fat, then he'll cut me back. So I'm really dieting for 6 days a week, and then I have one cheat meal on Saturday. That's really all I do. There's no really change as far as meals. I eat six meals a day every day. I don't, you know, I'm only eating four meals today. I'm not going to get a bowl of pasta. It's on Saturday I go get one meal. I guess because I've been doing it for so long, I did all that, you know, blowing it after a show, and I hate the way I feel right now. I actually rebounded really bad after this show. I think because I was so fatigued from the show, from the whole year, I was up like 12 pounds, and people think that's nothing, but for me, I only rebounded about 3 pounds. So I'm up 12 right now, and I feel like a big water buffalo, actually.
So you're in the low 170s now, then?
I was up to 179 after, which, I mean, I went from 163 to 179. And I was like, that's what I weighed in the offseason, the heaviest with Chris. And, I mean, it was just like, I was like, I couldn't even, if I ate a meal, my stomach was so, I always keep my abs in pretty tight, like, you know, like, I have a good transverse abs. My stomach was killing every day I ate a meal. But I didn't want to eat, but I wanted to eat because I was like, man, I want to eat some junk now. But I couldn't until I got some water down. I mean, I'm 175-ish in the morning right now, and I still feel heavy. Just because my body hasn't adjusted to the water a little bit and all that, so.
Yeah.
And then I knew I had to do the event. The event, huh?
No, go ahead.
I didn't know that, like, I knew I was doing the event, so I didn't want to, you know, it's like, I got to stay condition-wise as far as breathing in shape, because then I mean, when you're doing 30, 40, 50, 60 reps, it, you know, it taxes on you. And the first week I went back into squat, I was like, holy hell, I'm in trouble. Because I mean, I think I did 20, and my belly was just, it wasn't even, my legs had the gas in them, and I was like, but my belly is killing me, because I kept my abs in, and I saw my own therapist, and he ripped out my transverse abs, my iliacus was, you know, beat to hell, my pectineus was beat to hell, my whole groin was pulled in from all the posing, and my abs, my transverse abs, which I've never had done before, he ripped those out. I mean, the next day, my stomach felt like I had a baby. like my guts were ripped out, you know?
Yeah. What, now you've got a beautiful girlfriend, Tim, who I've met many times.
I'm looking at her right now.
What does she prefer? What does she prefer? Does she prefer the contest version of Derek or the off-season version of Derek?
You know, the best thing about Kim is she just likes me for me. I think they asked me, Kim, what do you like me better, the in-shape one or the off-season one?
Baby, I just love you for who you are.
Well, I mean, shape-wise, condition-wise.
Which does
she never complains how I look. She never complains how I look at the way I look. She never does it. Yeah. She just said, yeah, she never turned into a fat ass, so it doesn't matter. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, when I compete, I was 160, and the highest I get is like 178. So I never get above 20 pounds. And, you know, if you know Chris well, he wants his guys off season. Like, and she likes my bum a little full. How's that? That's one for your show. My bum's a little full in the off season. So it's more for her to grab, you know.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, I would have to think
that she's got to be happier when you're in the off season. I mean, I know I only have to diet for a whole week to cut a little water to make, you know, a little 8-pound jump down to 242, and I'm cranky as hell if I can't eat. So I imagine a 12-week diet, you'd have to be pissed off all the time. My girlfriend was telling me, she goes, I hate this week coming up where you actually have to cut weight because you're freaking miserable. You know, I'd rather have you be a fat ass and be happy than be, you know, all shredded down to a low 242, you know, with 19% body fat. I mean, it's awesome.
Well, the biggest thing she said the options are better because we have more freedom, and that's what, you know what I mean? Because, you know, if you're doing cardio twice a day, or if your carbs are low, you know, we like to get out and do stuff fun, you know what I mean? And it just, I get limited where, you know, like, if I do my car in the morning, we have to go do whatever, or my insulin is so low, and then I don't, but my thing was, I always try to, like, I don't want my dieting to affect my relationship. Like, sure. You know what I mean? I've been doing this for 24 years, and it's my thing. It shouldn't affect my mom. It shouldn't affect my girlfriend. It shouldn't affect my friends. I will go to the mall with her, and I'll take my meals, and I'll be happy as shit. You know, if I'm sitting outside, I'm like, they'll go in the stores. I got my meal. You know, I've never complained about dieting. I just get mad because, like, I want to have more energy, and I want to go, you know, like, to a movie with her, or, you know, go up to L.A. and see something. And I just, you know, I'll barter with her and say, if you drive, I'm there. You know, and I'll pay for everything if you drive. But, you know, it's definitely always just been the freedom you have off-season, where Chris puts on no cardio because when I'm working, it's already there. But, yeah, I mean, it's definitely the freedom factor that makes a big difference with us.
Yeah. Well, I saw a video actually, I was watching, where you were talking to some fighters about cutting weight. And I've been cutting weight for a long time. I had to cut weight for professional strongman as a lightweight pro. And that would be coming down from like 260 to 231. And then for powerlifting now, I'm probably about 257, and I'll have to, you know, have a 24-hour weigh-in, maybe give or take. It's probably more like you know, a little bit more than 24 hours, but it's not quite 48, to weigh in and then have to go compete. And, you know, I've pretty much done it just by manipulating water. But with the strongman, it was a little bit more difficult because there was so much more activity. With the powerlifting, I don't find it very difficult at all because, you know, gas really isn't an issue. I mean, yeah, you got to pull a last deadlift, but you know, I love to deadlift, so that's never really a problem. But I was listening to what you were saying, and essentially, I think that the way that I cut was kind of what you were telling some of the guys not to do, because I really just manipulate about 10 pounds of water.
And you're very tired after. The reason why I think that was done is I used to train wrestlers, high school wrestlers, and their pants would come to me because they didn't want, you know, a lot of them would throw up after because, you know, they cut their water and their gas the next day. So what I would do is work them like a month out and get them to learn how they can do it 3 or 4 days out, get that water off, and then the day of not cut it, because I used to wrestle. So I knew about cutting weight, and I was always a borderline player. You know, cutting your water was always a thing because, you know, your body's 30% water. And when you cut that, you get trained from it, so you can get someone to say, let's get you under the weight. Like you said, you cut it for a week. We can cut you for 3 weeks, and you can carb up the night before. and not worry about water. If we do, you know, you're not going to lose strength, and you're not, because we're doing it the smart way, you know?
Right.
But
I guess the issue's always been for me is that last month of training, in powerlifting, mind you, you really are shooting at 110. I think I even took a lift, I took a squat that was 113% of my best. You know, so it, you know, was 13% over 100, you know, and it was yep. that much heavier in training. So it's always been the idea that, like, I'll weigh 242 at weigh-in, and yep. within 4 hours, I'll have put all that weight back on.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Without a problem, and really just have sort of an eating method that has helped. Now, that's just kind
of the eating method. That was the key right there. Your eating method was your key. Because you figure out what works for your body. That's the thing is, these other guys are just cutting weight. Like, they're cutting it, and they're miserable because, like, they'll cut the water, and they should have, like, they were probably 4 or 5 pounds too heavy already. Like, for me, from what you sound like you know about how heavy you can get, like a borderline number, and you know you can drop that. But if you got to, like, 260, you know, could you cut
oh,
that
yeah,
water?
Or
exactly. So you know how high you can go with your number and how much water you can cut because you've done it before. And you've had success with it. These guys, they're like going in and they're getting gassed the next day and they're lasting one round. You know, and then
right.
they're like, you know, I can run this thing. I'm like, yeah, but you're cutting 8-10 pounds of water and you're never recovering. You found a way to get the food back into your body and then right enough water re-energizes you. Like, and it's kind of like we talk about even the bros versus pros. We're going to have an hour in between.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what you drink and eat in between can make or break those guys because that hour break could be too much for somebody or great for another person.
Right. Well,
you know?
It's interesting, too, because you talked about white potatoes sort of being your Achilles heel. For me, yeah. and what I was thinking was, it really, and it's been trial and error, that's for certain.
Yeah.
It's been that food that goes in early, like that first food that goes in, it can't mess with your GI tract. It can't upset your stomach. If it upsets your stomach, you're going to set yourself back. It's got to be calories that go in and stay in your body because the last thing you want is to start throwing up or get diarrhea. And so
exactly.
I've developed foods that work for me, and it's kind of, you know, sort of, it has definitely
what
been
works
trial
for you,
and
by the way? People, what works for you?
Well, it's kind of like early on, I'll take a very light, I'll use Pedialyte because my sense is that it's a little bit easier on my system and mix it with water. I'll get like a distilled water, actually, as opposed to like a tap water or a spring water. And that'll be what's going on first. And then I'll go with mixed, all natural, like organic fruit juices and then start, not a lot of it, but just a little bit to kind of get things going, get my body, obviously the salts are going in with the Pedialyte and that kind of thing,
mm-hmm.
and just get my body absorbing things, and then slowly work into, like, peanut butter, and, like, I used to be pretty, when I would compete all over the country because I had some allergies, I would always buy local honey, and I'll start putting in local honey and things like that, but things that really don't take a lot to digest, it's just kind of happening, there's, you know, there's not a lot going on. And then, like, a lot of guys want to go eat a cheeseburger or a hamburger.
Oh, God,
no red meat or anything like that. And then just kind of work my way up to a big pasta dinner, you know, that night, not with a real red sauce. The red sauce doesn't work for me. Like, an olive oil base type thing works for
mm-hmm.
me pretty well, where it doesn't affect my GI tract. And that's really what I'm kind of looking for.
No, but see, that's... Like, when you look into it, you've done your homework, you know what I mean? You can tell because of the way what you just said. Like, that was me. Everything you said would have been fine with me, except for the fruit juices, because I know my body. Though the acidity in fruit juices always kills me.
Right.
Like, you know, that would be the upset belly. But, you know, the thing I put in would be, like, dextrose for me. For some reason,
okay.
It goes in great. I mean, but everything you said, yep. Like, I'm listening, I'm going, everything, I'm like, fruit juices upset my belly. Pedialyte,
well, interesting.
Sweet for me.
Interesting.
But it's funny because that's exactly everything else. I loved what you said.
Well, interestingly, not just a straight fruit juice, but like I'll actually get a blend. It's more like a Bauhaus farm where it's actually a mix of vegetable juices and fruit juices. It's not I'm not just drinking like mango juice. Like, I like that Green Goddess because it's a mix of like seaweed and it's a mix of vegetables.
Yeah, that
and
might not
fruit.
Hurt my belly. Yeah.
So,
yeah, and what I'm learning, I've never had to diet before. I competed super heavyweight, anything and everything I've done. You know, so I'm working with Dave Palumbo to get ready to do this show, this bodybuilding show I'm going to do next year. And for me, you know, he wanted me to eat sweet potatoes and a couple other things. They didn't work for me. I can eat brown rice 6 meals a day for a month on end, no problem at all. And so for me, I'm learning the same thing. It's what foods are going to work for me, what foods aren't going to work for me. And when I eat clean and I don't hold any water, I get light and the weight starts coming off, and it's interesting. So it's been an interesting trial for me to figure out what's going to work for me and what's not. Hey, Derek, we've got to get running here. I wanted to ask you one last question. Well, I want to make a quick comment. I want to congratulate you. Derek Farnsworth signed with Labrada Nutrition, 2 weeks ago, I guess now? Lee Labrada got a hold of you, and you're an official athlete with Labrada Nutrition.
Yeah, it was pretty amazing. Like, if you meet Lee, he's so genuine. And it's kind of like, almost like you're too nice, but, like, you know, and that's just the way he is. And he actually, you know, we talked in a couple shows, and he just was, you know, he's been one of my idols, and I've met him a couple times, and he was just so damn genuine, and we get along well, and he's like, if you need something, just let me know. You know, and they kind of know, like, when people do that, I don't like to do it. I don't know why. I guess it's fun to introduce, but I always feel like you might owe them something. You know what I mean? And I don't want, you know, because they're hidden agenda or something like that. So I always try to, like, just do my own thing. And we went to, he called me up the Monday before the show, and he just wanted to know how I was doing. That blew me away. He just wanted to know how I was doing and all that. And we talked about sponsorship a little bit, and he told me how he thought, and, you know, the family they have down there, and he tried to sell me on the thing, you know, and I'm thinking to myself, Lee, you have me, you know, because it's like, you know, I love the company and that, but, you know, it's just so funny because he was really trying to sell to me. I mean, and then, that, you know, we went to Olympia and I walked over and he's like, you know, right away, do you need anything, you know, and he was on me like, you know, telling me like, make sure you go back and rest, you know, like, kind of like he was my coach. And then, you know, he blew me away with the way he is as a professional, his whole team, his son. I get along with his son great, you know, I love the fact that his son is, you know, is an avid bodybuilder, you know what I mean? I try to get him out and do the bros versus bros, you know? He's only like 20 years old and he's squatting 500 for like 10, 15 already. And I'm like, why don't you come out, let's play, you know? Because it would have been fun, you know, he's 20 years old and I'm like 42. I'm like, let's show these, you know, all these other guys, you know, a young kid coming up to this school. Because that's how I was, you know? All the older guys helping me out. I wanted to, like, you know, kind of introduce him to the sporting world. So it's unbelievable to be signed by them. It's, you know, at 42 years old, I thought I was getting done, and now it's, you know, everything's taken off.
Right. Well, my question for you now, I want to wrap up with this, is at age 42, having come off your, you know, long year of prep for all the shows that you did and then culminating with the Olympia a few weeks ago, what's it going to take to win this weekend? We've got two returning men's champions. Frank Nesdoba from Phoenix is coming back. He's he's a squat phenom. He's got thighs.
He's a squat machine, boy. I remember him very well.
Yeah, and then Mark Lurch, who's the 3-time deadlift champion, is coming from Long Island. What's it going to take to beat young guys like this? How are you going to pull
it? Studied a little bit of it. I actually looked a little bit of these guys up, and I watched Mark's technique on, you know, dance and so forth and all that. And you've got one guy who's great at one guy who's great at the other, and I fall in the middle. I'm good. Decent at both. I mean, I know I'm a better squatter than I am deadlifter, but what the thing is, I've done this. I've done both events in one day already.
Right.
I don't know if they've done that before. And the biggest thing is, we're going to be in a big stage. That's a huge difference. It's not in the gym. You're not doing your own gym, which I learned hard was I do a hell of a lot more in my own gym than I do at an event. That's just the way it is. Sure. And can they come back in an hour and, you know, give it their all in that day because of the adrenaline, the people, the atmosphere? It plays a huge role. I tell you right now, you better have oxygen in there because I'll pass out before I give up. Like, that's my mentality going in. It's that old man ego. I know going in this, I'm like, you know, I'm going here to have fun. If it was in 3 months from now, and I don't want to make an excuse, of course, if it was in 3 months right now, I would say I own this. But I do know that my body is beat up. But I know once I get there, it doesn't matter how I feel. I'm going to see Frank do these numbers. And I'm going to be like, bullshit, I'm not going to let him beat me. And I'm going to, you know, Mark is going to kill me in the dead. So I have to put up great numbers in both, too. You know, I'm looking for more than 50 in both. It's in my head. I know the squat's going to be, I mean, I just did again, like I told you, I did squats yesterday. And I only did two sets and I walked away. I did
two sets of 30 nonstop and I stop. And my rhythm is where I want it to be, where I know how far I'm going to have to push it so I can get past a number. And my rhythm was really good yesterday. I was very happy. And then tomorrow I'm going to do a thing with the dead. And then, you know, as long as my rhythm is there and I get there, it's just going to come, you know, it's going to come down to what they throw at me. You know what I mean? Because, like you said, Frank's a beast. And I've watched Mark and I watch him take out Derek and I'm like, oh, you know what I mean? It depends on that day. If anybody can beat in that day, and all I know is that with those two guys plus me, it's going to be one exciting night, or day, I should say.
Yep, it should be a lot of fun. I'm really looking forward to it. And just for our listeners who haven't heard yet, we will be on the main expo stage. Originally, they'd scheduled us. The information I was passing out was that they were going to put us on the stage as you walked through the front door from after you got your ticket. You walked through the front door, there was going to be a stage there. And instead, Ed Pariso and I has been in contact with me and asked me what I thought about it. And I think it's going to be a lot of fun. So we're going to be up on the main expo stage where the bodybuilding events normally are at the Euro. And that's where our signups and everything will be there. And it's going to be a lot of fun. Athletes meeting around noon, and then we should have our first lifter on the stage about 1 o'clock. We have another event that's going on, a model search that's going on the stage, too. So we're going to be working together with one another to make sure everybody's event's going correctly. So, Derek, thanks for your time tonight, man. I really appreciate it. Looking forward to seeing you and kiss Kim for me. I will see you Friday when you guys get in. Again,
yeah, I'll be there. I'm excited as hell.
Sorry?
I'm excited to get there, and I want to thank Dave. I know he's not going to be there, and I know he's listening. Get better, Dave, and thank you for the opportunity. And you, Brian, thank you for bringing me in. I've been wanting to do this for a long time, and it's finally going to happen, you know?
Absolutely. It's going to be a lot of fun. We're going to love it. Dave's going to be sitting at home with his leg up in the air, watching the live stream on rxmuscle.com. And unfortunately, he can't be with us this weekend, but we're going to put on a good show nonetheless. Derek, IFBB, Derek Farnsworth, IFBB Pro, made his Olympia debut as our pro this weekend at Bros vs. Pros 12 at the Phoenix Europa. Derek, thanks, buddy. I will see you Friday. We'll see you guys at the airport on Friday, and have a great night, okay?
You too, man. Thank you so much. Thanks,
right,
Mike. I'll talk to you soon.
Thanks a lot. All right. Take care. Mike, interesting guy. I mean, he's certainly well-mannered, been in the game for a very, very long time.
Oh, yeah. I mean, and yeah, it's definitely interesting, you know, from a perspective standpoint to talk to somebody that's, you know, old like us, that's still hanging and banging and lifting weights and obviously has a passion for it. You know, and he builds his life around it, which I think is really cool. I mean, you know, obviously, you know, if you're in your 40s and you're still lifting heavy and you're dieting and this kind of thing, I mean, obviously, you know, your loved ones, they have to be part of that. It's not like when you're 24 and you're just, you know, devil may care and running around. I mean, we have responsibility, you have family, you have jobs and that kind of thing, and you're really able to work around it. So you definitely have to give credit to a guy like that that's still in the mix. You know, and kudos to him, you know, really for just, for picking up that sponsorship, you know, that says a whole lot. You know, I recently grabbed, you know, really my first big sponsorship pass this year, and I'm 43 years old, and it's, you know, it goes a long way to, you know, to the athletes, the kids that are coming up. You know, if you stick with it, you really can reach the top. You really can do it the right way. So
he's just a coolest guy, and like you said, from a longevity standpoint, it's great to see guys like him. He's 42, been doing this for 24 years old. You know, I'm a little couple years older than both of you, but not a lot, just a couple. And you're right, you're absolutely right in that longevity, doing the right thing, being smart, being reasonable, you know, year round can lead to good things. You picked up your sponsorship at age 73, so I mean, anything's possible.
Yeah, well, you know, Scott Hohag and the good people at Custom Stacks and 360 Cut, you know, they have a thing for the geriatric set, so they signed myself and Chuck Vogelpohl up, you know, but a lot of that has to do with the wisdom that you're going to garner from, you know, an athlete that's been around for a while. I mean, you talk to a 24-year-old, you know, bodybuilder or powerlifter, you know, and they've got some cockamamie ideas and diet schemes that they're on, but that's just because somebody in the gym just told them that's what it is. It has nothing to do with trial and error or, you know, the school of hard knocks. It's just, you know,
right,
what they heard around the water cooler. But, you know, you get into, right, a seasoned veteran that still is in the prime and still can go. I mean, you're going to get a wealth of knowledge. And really, that's what we're talking about. It's that knowledge base.
Right. Yeah, Zydrunas Savickas is a perfect example of that. I mean, he's really an elder statesman in this group. And here he goes. He wins the World's Strongest Man a couple of weeks ago and then takes everybody out in the Arnold Europe. So having a few years behind is not a bad thing. Just sticking with it, staying healthy and doing the right thing will make all the difference in the world. Hey, Mike. So tell our listeners about our guest next week. I normally do this segment, but I know that you have a relationship with this guy. So tell us about Dan.
Yeah, next week I'm definitely excited. You know, I was at the Arnold back in the day when the WPO was still there, and the Arnold does have powerlifting, but it's just a single-ply type powerlifting, but they're going to be bringing multiply back, and the guy that's going to be bringing it back to the Arnold is my good buddy Dan Daig. He's the founder of the XPC, Extreme Powerlifting Coalition, and the owner of Lexan Extreme. It's a gym here in Columbus, Ohio. And Danny goes back in powerlifting way back to the beginnings of Westside Barbell. So he's going to have not only some great information next week about the upcoming event in 2 weeks, the qualifier, but also the event at the Arnold, the powerlifting event, the multiply event at the Arnold. But he's got some inside stories about the beginnings of Westside that'll blow your mind. I mean, because, you know, he was there when it was still in a garage, you know, before it was Westside Barbell. And so, you know, he's a guy, like I said, that's been around for a long, long time. And, he's a good friend and took care of me when I moved up here to Columbus and actually, trained at his gym for a period of time there. But yeah, Danny Daig will be our guest next week.
Cool. Looking forward to talking with him. Certainly he's been around the block and he's been there, done that, and printed the t-shirts. He didn't buy them, that's for sure. This coming weekend on Saturday, October 20th, Europa Get Fit and Sport Expo, Phoenix, Arizona, at the Phoenix Convention Center. Two events. Mike, you're going to be there with the 105 guys, correct?
Yep, America's Strongman Light.
I like their title, American Strongman Light. You guys are going to be over on one side of the arena with, it's 105 Nationals, correct?
No, yeah, 100. Well, yeah, it's America's Strongest Man 105 kilogram class. So it's our lightweight pros, 231 pounds and down. Guys are competing. And interestingly, looking back, they're handling the weights now that the pros were handling, you know, in World's Strongest Man, certainly 2, 3, 4 years ago.
Wow.
And these guys have 231-pound body weight. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, and that's how much the sport has progressed, not only in just the sport itself, but how much the lightweights have really made a big impact over just the past few years. And really giving up a venue to do that is probably more important than anything else. They get the opportunity to show that they're not the big 400-pound guys like Oberst and Sean Jenkins, but they can get the job done just as well.
Oh, yeah.
Yep. Yep.
They can good still guy. Get after it. Deadlifts, big overhead pressing. I mean, it's going to be a lot of fun. It's going to be a great show. You know, we're definitely excited to be again the fourth Europa of the year, the first time in Phoenix. Ed and Betty Pariso, they put on a good show. It's a great venue, so really looking forward to it.
Good. It'll be a lot of fun. Now, I'm going to be over, like I said before, on the main expo stage for Bros vs. Pros 12 Double Trouble. More than $3,500 in cash and prizes. Men will squat and deadlift 315 pounds for reps. Girls do the same, but it's based on their body weight. And then we also have a one-rep winner takes all max deadlift. IFBB pros Danielle Delacat, the little pint-sized wonder coming down from Vegas, is our women's pro. And our other pint-sized wonder, Derek Farnsworth, coming up from San Diego to be the men's pro. And the one rep max doesn't have a pro, but I've had some interesting names come up. And Jerry Pritchett, who just had his first shot at World's Strongest Man qualifier a few weeks ago, has confirmed he will be there to lift. So I just saw a video of him that he posted a few weeks ago of a 800-pound deadlift for a triple. So I think he's game for a big lift. Some other big people that will be there, Frank Nesdoga, who won our Bros vs. Pros in Phoenix last year at the Metroflex Phoenix gym, Josh Barnett's place out there, Amanda Barbell Barbie Harris. I always screw that up. She's the teenage wonder who's won a ton of powerlifting titles. She's a former Bros versus Bros champion. She won in Chicago last year in December. And Rebecca Klopp, our newest female champion, she won up at Derek Poundstone's gym at the beginning of July. She'll be in as well. All these people are confirmed. It's going to be a great show. A lot of local people, a lot of local support coming out for it. So really, really looking forward to making this happen. I want to thank our guest again, Derek Farnsworth, IBB Pro. Again, our pro at Bros vs. Bros this weekend. Our own... I just saw a picture of Dave Palumbo this evening, and I felt kind of bad for him. He hasn't shaved in probably a week and a half. He's passed out on the sofa with his leg propped up, and he looks kind of miserable. So, Dave, best to you, buddy, and we will miss you in Phoenix this weekend. And thanks to Jeff, our very own producer, graphics guru Sally Ann Taylor, Scott Hoega, Custom Stacks Nutrition, Rick Brewer, House of Pain, and, of course, my midget co-host from Columbus, Ohio, Mike Johnson. We'll see you all next week with our guest, from the XPC, Dan Digg. And until then, good night, everybody.
This has been the RX Power Hour. Check us out on rxmuscle.com and join in on the discussions.